You're back listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, and we are really happy to be joined by Ran Darwich, who's from the Palestine Justice Movement in Sydney and also featured in a documentary called Palestine Under Siege. Welcome to the show, Ran.
Thank you. Thanks for welcoming me.
Yeah, and it's really great to have you. We really wanted to speak to you because there is a really rich history of women's resistance in Gaza and the West Bank, where Palestinian women have had this, you know, a significant presence as activists protesting against Israel's unjust occupation. And one great example would be of this would be the role that women played during the first Intifada. So just to start us off, can you just tell us first about the role of women in the resistance movement in Palestine?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I guess I want to mention that resistance really can take so many forms. So when you're dealing with a liberation struggle like Palestine, when you're dealing with an occupier who is trying to eradicate the Palestinian people, then our existence is resistance. So Palestinian women resist every single day. I mean, from cooking our food to doing our tatris, our embroidery, this is all resistance. Having Palestinian children is resistance. So historically, when the Palestinian flag was banned, for example, and protesters were not able to hold up our flag, women got really organized and began to embroider the colors of the flag into the clothes of the protesters. So historically, there's always been women involvement in our organized struggle. Women have played a role as well within politics. So women like Hanan Zahavi have been doing really incredible work infiltrating the Israeli Knesset and organizing from the inside, really. Women have always played a role in our armed struggle too. So despite the Israeli state and the media choosing deliberately only to focus on our men, which is working really to demonize them, women have been involved in that armed struggle. So I guess an example of really powerful women's resistance that I have personally come into contact with is when I went to Jerusalem in June last year as part of the Dare to Struggle film project. Mm. And as we stayed in the heart of the old city, we meant to go to a different city that day, but by complete coincidence, we witnessed a Palestinian woman being evicted from her home in the Muslim quarter of the old city. The woman that we saw was Noura Sublaban. And she had lived in this home for, I think, 3 generations now, but was now being evicted under this law that exists called the Third Generation Law, which really just seeks to kick out Palestinian tenants from Jerusalem after 3 generations of living there. So she fought this after we saw her getting evicted, we followed the campaign and she fought it in the Israeli courts, pleading, saying that the reason that her center of life was not in Jerusalem, which is the, like, I guess the legality that they use to kick people out, the reason that her center of life was not in Jerusalem for 1 week was because she was in hospital. And she gave them the paperwork to prove it. But regardless, they still evicted her because the Israeli courts exist to serve the settlement project. And so, she was evicted on that day and the appeal didn't go through and she's still not living there. So meanwhile, you know, Israeli settlers, they don't have to prove their center of anything. And in fact, the majority of them in Jerusalem actually have dual citizenship and at least 2 houses and leave essentially a constant revolving door in the old city and across Greater Jerusalem. So, yeah, this issue of Israelizing the Muslim quarter of the old city is actually the old city of Jerusalem is actually a really big problem. It's creating so much friction, and the goal there really is to expand the Jewish quarter and really take over. Yeah.
Thanks, Rand. I'm one of the other presenters, Sue, here. It's great to hear you talk about that because a lot of Western narratives about the Middle East and Palestine tends to ignore the role of women, and part of it is exactly what you say about trying to demonize male resistance fighters and in order to demonize the resistance as a whole. So it's actually is good to put a bit of a spotlight on some of the women resistance fighters as part of the Palestine movement. I was wondering if you might also talk a little bit more about some of the individual female leaders of resistance in Palestine, but also I believe you've got a bit of knowledge about the different left-wing resistance groups in Palestine, if you might be able to talk about some of those as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so historically, the Palestinian struggle has been a left-wing struggle to begin with. So, you know, resistance and armed resistance has historically been done through a left-wing lens. You know, you've got groups on the ground, particularly in the West Bank, who, are risking their lives, risking their security to get engaged in armed resistance. And so one of these groups, for example, would be, you know, the PSLP or the DFLP. They're just an off-faction of the same organisation, which is a Marxist resistance group. And so, you know, there's lots of female representation in these groups. There's lots of queer representation as well. And, you know, particularly in the occupied West Bank, you know, it's not as a conservative society as people actually think it is. So I guess that's important to note. So, I mean, in terms of individual, you know, female resistance fighters in armed resistance, but also nonviolent resistance and organized politics and stuff like that. You know, you've got, everyone knows Leila Khaled, for example. She was kind of the poster for the PSLP, and she was engaged in armed resistance and now is more so engaged in political education and Marxist theory. But you've also got, you know, people like Munal Kurd, who were working in the space of, you know, the working in Sheikh Jarrah and trying to bring a spotlight to what's happening there, working with media, for example. I mentioned Hanin Zaghi. She's working within the Israeli Knesset. I mean, you've really got people everywhere. And so, yeah, the role of women is very much integrated into our struggle.
Good morning, Rand. It's Mary here. Just following on from that question is the next one, which is, how important do you think it is to challenge some of the racist and gender stereotypes that discriminate against Muslim women or any women that might cover their heads?
I mean, so, like, it totally fits their narrative, right? I mean, Palestinian men are brutal, violent and barbaric, and Palestinian women are oppressed by their own culture and by the men in their lives. Like, that's, you know, that's the narrative that they've run with. And so, of course, that's, you know, that's only really served the Israeli state and the colonial project. But as I said, you know, the Palestinian struggle has always been a left-wing struggle. And, you know, Palestinian or Muslim women might choose to cover their hair. And actually, you know, when you compare this to the French or the French colonization of Algeria and Tunisia, where Muslim women were forced to remove their hijab, then really who in this situation is the oppressor? Is it the system that is forcibly de-veiling women? Because I would say that that's the oppression, you know? So I think this whole idea of, it's really only seeking to depict women as these, like, you know, weak. But if you know Palestinian women, they are anything but. So it's just a complete fabrication. And really it's being used by the media to push forward a genocidal agenda to, you know, free brown women, like white women trying to free brown women from brown men. And so this whole idea just needs to be challenged. And this is really what International Women's Day should be about.
Yeah, hear, hear. And you did. It is true that some of the kind of dehumanizing of men's lives is it does really erase the violence that's happening to men as well as women, and it's being used to justify the genocide against all Palestinians. So we do need to challenge that narrative. Rand, we do have to unfortunately wrap up the interview, but we wanted to just ask you one last question. We're asking every guest today on International Women's Day, why should all feminists support Palestine?
I think feminists should support Palestine because otherwise you risk falling into the trap of colonial and really neoliberal feminism, which is feminism for the white and wealthy, feminism to make more female CEOs, for example, as you mentioned, in our conversation yesterday. Mm. So I think that ultimately, if feminists are not supporting Palestine, then it's not a feminism for everyone, and it's not actually looking at the systems of colonialism and the structures of power that are actually, undermining women in a very different way other than white women. So I think that's really important.